Welcome back. In this lesson, we're making a future Jungle Air Horn hit in Ableton Live 12, and more importantly, we're turning it into a flexible FX weapon with macro controls, so this isn't just about building one loud sample and calling it a day. We're designing a hit that can punch through a drop, open up in a build, get darker for halftime energy, and evolve across your arrangement without you having to rebuild the sound every time. If you think of this like a regular horn sample, it's easy to miss the point. In future jungle and drum and bass, the best effects sounds feel like gestures. They say something, they answer the break, they announce the drop, they create tension, release, and movement. That's the mindset here. First, choose a good source sound. A clean air horn sample is perfect, but you can also use a brass stab from Waveedable or a resampled horn style effects hit from your own library. The ideal starting point is short, mid-range heavy, a little nasal, and easy to process without falling apart. If your sample is too long or too bright, no stress. We're going to shape it. Load the sample into Simpler and set it to one shot. Trim it so the transient starts tightly, because indeed NB timing matters a lot. You want this hit to feel immediate. If you need warp for timing, use it, but only if it actually helps. The goal is not to make the sound stretchy. The goal is to make it hit hard and land clean. Now build your device chain. A solid starting order is Simpler, then EQ8, then Saturator or Roar, then auto filter, then compressor or glue compressor, then reverb, then delay, and finally utility. That order makes sense, because you clean the sound first, add attitude next, then create movement, then control the dynamics, then add space, and finally handle stereo and output level at the end. Start with EQ8. In a DNB context, you usually want to high pass somewhere around 120 to 180 Hz, so the horn stays out of the kick and sub area. Then try a small cut around 300 to 500 Hz if the sound feels boxy or honky. If you need more presence, a gentle boost around 1.5 to 3 kHz can help it speak in the mix. And if the sample feels dull, a light shelf up top can add air. Just be careful. Air horns can get painfully bright very quickly, so if it starts to sound sharp or piercing, pull back instead of forcing it. Next, add saturation. Saturator is great if you want a quick, controlled edge. Roar is awesome if you want something a little more aggressive and modern. For saturator, try a drive of around 3 to 6 dB and keep soft clip on. Then compensate the output so you're hearing tone, not just a volume jump. With roar, go for a mild or medium setting and focus on upper-mid harmonics. The idea is to add attitude, not destroy the transient. In future jungle, a little grit goes a long way. After that, insert auto filter. This is where the sound becomes playable. Start with a low-pass or band-pass filter and set the cutoff somewhere around 1.5 to 4 kHz. Keep resonance moderate. This device is going to be one of your main macro targets, because it lets you shift the horn from dark and claustrophobic to open and aggressive with one move. That is exactly the kind of motion that works in jungle builds and drop transitions. Now add compression if needed. Glue compressor is a good choice when the transient is strong and you want the hit to feel glued into the mix. Keep the attack relatively slow if you want the transient to punch through, and use a release that feels natural with the groove. You usually only need a few dB of gain reduction. Don't squash it just because you can. The horn should still feel alive. Then add space. Reverb and delay are where you can make this sound huge, but you have to stay disciplined. For reverb, think modest decay, maybe around 1 to 2.5 seconds, with a short pre-delay so the transient stays up front. Low cut the reverb so it doesn't cloud the low end, and high cut it so the tail doesn't become fizzy. For delay, use echo or simple delay depending on whether you want character or cleanliness. Short rhythmic values like eighth notes, dotted eighths, or quarters can make the horn feel like part of the groove rather than just a one-off blast. That's really important in rolling jungle sections. Finish the chain with utility. Use it to control overall gain and stereo width. A lot of the time, the dry horn should stay fairly centered. Let the delay and reverb provide the width that keeps the sound punchy in a club system and avoids that weak, over stereo problem, where the hit feels big on headphones, but falls apart in mono. Once the chain is built, group everything into an instrument rack. Now the fun part starts, macro mapping. The goal here is not to map random parameters. The goal is to create meaningful musical controls that let you perform the sound like an instrument. A strong macro layout for this kind of horn could be tone, impact, dirt, space, throw, width, pitch rise, and tail length. Tone should control the brightness and filter behavior. Map it to auto filter cutoff and maybe to high shelf in EQ8. At the low end, the horn should feel darker and more restrained. At the high end, it should open up and cut through. Impact should control how hard the hit feels. You can map this to simpler volume, utility gain, or even compressor threshold if you want the whole sound to push harder. This is your drop accent knob. Dirt should control saturation. Map it to saturator drive or roar intensity. At low values, the horn stays cleaner. At high values, it gets rough, grimy, and more future jungle. Bass should control reverb amount and maybe decay. Low values keep the hit dry and upfront. Higher values push it into a bigger atmospheric zone. Throw should control delay, wetness, and feedback. This lets you go from almost no tail to a rhythmic echo that trails behind the hit. Width should control stereo spread, preferably with utility width, and possibly some effect width as well. Keep the dry hit more focused and use width for the processed part of the sound. Pitch rise should be subtle. You can map a small transpose or fine-tune shift in simpler, maybe with a little filter movement too. Don't overdo this. In drum and bass, too much pitch bend can feel cheesy unless you really want that old-school rave flavor. Used lightly, though, it adds tension and motion. Tail length should control how long the horn hangs in the air. That can mean reverb decay, delay feedback, or even sample release if the source allows it. This gives you a short stab for tight arrangement work or a longer tail for transitions. Here's the key teacher note. Don't just make the full range usable, make the middle range useful. A lot of great macro design lives in that 30 to 70% zone, where the sound changes in a musical way without becoming cartoonish. Save the extremes for obvious transitions, big fill moments, and intentional performance gestures. Now test the rack in arrangement view. Place the horn hit in an 8-bar or 16-bar section and automate the macros. A strong approach is to keep the first hit dry and punchy, make the repeat a little wider and dirtier, then reserve the biggest delayed version for the final hit before the drop. You can also open the tone during the build, increase dirt right before the drop, and push space and throw only on the last hit. That creates progression, without needing a different sample every time. This is where the sound stops being static and starts becoming part of an arrangement language. In jungle, that matters a lot. The horn can act like punctuation at the end of a phrase, or it can answer a snare fill, or it can bridge into the next section. You're not just designing sound, you're designing momentum. Once you find a setting that really works, resample it. That's a huge workflow move. Printing the sound to audio makes it easier to chop, reverse, duplicate, and place in context. You can create a reversed pre-hit, a chopped stutter, a tilemli wash, or a layered call-and-response phrase. In future jungle, resampling is often where the magic happens, because one great FX setting can become three or four usable arrangement tools. A few common mistakes to watch out for. First, don't make it too bright. If it hurts on headphones, it will usually be worse on a loud system. Second, don't drown it in reverb. The dry transient needs to stay clear. Third, don't make the whole sound super wide. Keep the core focused and let the effects carry the width. Fourth, make sure your macros actually do something meaningful. If a knob moves but the sound barely changes, the rack won't feel expressive. And fifth, leave space in the arrangement. An air horn fighting the snare or mid-bass is usually a bad idea. Give it room to answer the groove instead of crashing into it. If you want a darker, heavier version, try roar for a more industrial edge, then cut some top end after the distortion and add a narrow boost in the upper mids for bite. You can also layer a subtle sub-impact, like a short tom or kick click, under the horn if it needs extra weight. Keep that layer restrained. It should support the hit, not become a second kick drum. Another great trick is to build a dual-layer horn rack. Make one layer short, sharp, and centered, and another layer longer, wider, and more processed. Then map a macro so you can blend between them. That gives you a tight club hit at one end and a cinematic blast at the other, all from the same instrument. Here's a quick practice exercise. Set up three versions of the same horn using only your macros. Version 1 should be dry and punchy. Version 2 should be more open, a little dirtier, with some width and a bit of pitch movement. Version 3 should be a huge drop accent with more space, more throw, and a longer tail. Trigger all three against a rolling 174 BPM drum loop and listen to which one cuts through best. Then resample the winner and place it before a snare fill. That little test will teach you a lot about how macro ranges actually feel in context. So to wrap it up, you've now got a future Jungle Air Horn FX rack in Ableton Live 12 that's not just loud, but playable. The big ideas are simple. Start with a strong source. Shape it carefully with EQ and saturation. Use filter and space for movement. Map your macros to meaningful musical changes, automate those macros across the arrangement, and resample the best version so you can keep building from them. If you do this right, one air horn sample becomes a whole jungle toolkit. It can be a drop weapon, a build-up gesture, a breakdown texture, or a transition cue. That's the power of creative macro control. And once you hear it working in a dense breakbeat arrangement, you'll probably want to build a whole rack of these.